So that is where we stopped in the last class, where we have a smiling Krishna and a weeping Arjuna with tears, inactive. Now to that Arjuna, now Krishna is going to talk. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Ashochyanan Vashochastvam.
Ashochyanan Vashochastvam. Ashochyanan Vashochastvam.
Prajnavadamscha Bhashase.
Prajnavadamscha Bhashase.
Ashochyanan Vashochastvam. Prajnavadamscha Bhashase.
Ashochyanan Vashochastvam. Prajnavadamscha Bhashase. Ashochyanan Vashochastvam. Prajnavadamscha Bhashase.
Gatasuna Gatasumscha.
Gatasuna Gatasumscha. Gatasuna Gatasumscha.
Nanushochanti Panditaha.
Nanushochanti Panditaha. Nanushochanti Panditaha.
Gatasuna Gatasumscha. Nanushochanti Panditaha.
Gatasuna Gatasumscha. Nanushochanti Panditaha. Gatasuna Gatasumscha. Nanushochanti Panditaha.
So as we said in the last class, from this shloka only the actual teaching of Bhagavad Gita takes place. All the other things are all story part. Whether they really happened or not, that's not our concern. Might have happened, might not have happened. Actually, Shankaracharya, he doesn't bother to write commentary at all up to this portion. For the first 47 shlokas of first chapter, 10 shlokas of this chapter, for all the 57 shlokas, he just bundles the entire thing into one big sentence. The commentary. That's all he does. Arjuna sees samsara and then surrenders unto Krishna. Krishna starts to teach. That is all he writes. Because Shankara will not waste his time writing about who blew the conch and who is arrayed where, whose conch's name is what. He is not interested in all those things. There are story part of it. So the Gita Aramba, the beginning of Bhagavad Gita starts from only this shloka. This is the very important shloka. This is the first shloka of Bhagavad Gita from that point of view, and that gives the summary of Gita, the essence of the entire Bhagavad Gita is captured in this shloka. Because what is the rule of teaching? That the beginning and the end should convey what? Should contain the essence of the total teaching, and the middle portion should be only an elaboration of whatever was said in the beginning. So this is called Upakrama Shloka. This first shloka is called Upakrama Shloka, and we will have the Upasamhara Shloka, the concluding or the ending shloka, in the 18th chapter, 66th shloka, where Krishna will say, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyah Mokshayishyami Ma Shuchaha. There also he says, Ma Shuchaha, do not grieve. Shuchaha, that's what he says at the end. At the 66th shloka of 18th chapter, here also he is starting with again such. Such means shokaha. He is again starting with the same thing. He is starting with grief and finally asking people to get out of grief also. That's what he is doing. So what is the essence of Gita really? Is crossing shokaha, crossing grief. Crossing samsara, that alone is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So grief alone is crossed. And once grief is crossed, one reaches moksha. That is the essence of Gita. So, Ma Suchaha, do not grieve. That's what Krishna says. You are liberated. You are free. You are not bound anymore. That is what Krishna will say at the end. In the beginning also what he says here in this shloka, Ashochyan Anvashochastvam. You are worrying over the people on whom you should never worry. That's what Krishna says. You are worrying about people about whom you should never worry at all. Ashochyan. Ashochyan, that which never deserves to be worried. They are not worthy of being worried at all. Shochyaha means shoka yogyaha. Shochyaha means fit to be worried, worthy of worrying. Ashochyaha means never worthy of worrying, never fit to be worried. Towards them you are showing your grief about these people, the Bhishmas and the Dronas and all the other people, which means that your grief has no meaning at all. There is no meaning at all. It is an invalid grief. It is an improper grief. It is an illegitimate grief also. That's what Krishna contends. If your worry is improper or illegitimate, it comes out of what? Only a confused mind. Your mind is deluded. Your mind is confused. That is why you are worrying about things about which you should not worry. Actually, this is a very, very terse sloka, which Krishna himself will explain later. Because the first point is what? Is your worry is improper. Your worry is improper. Your worry is illegitimate. Now, Krishna makes a very big and very bold statement here, which is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, as we said, that no situation in life deserves grief on the part of human beings. For anybody, there is no situation in life that deserves worry, or deserves grief. That is, there is no such thing called a legitimate or proper grief. Nothing like that at all. No grief is legitimate. No grief is proper. Improper worry is always improper. That is the bold statement Krishna is trying to make. No situation in life requires worry reaction. Worry is again related to reaction. We react to situations. There is no situation in life that is worthy of reaction. Therefore, Krishna says, Panditaha. Panditaha, the wise people. Wise people, wise means the people who have self-knowledge, who know the knowledge of the self. Panda means Atmajnana. Here, Panditaha means one who has Atmajnana, the person who has self-knowledge. Na anushochanti, they never grieve. People who are Panditas, the wise people, they never grieve, they never worry. Over two things they don't worry. What are those things? Gatasun. Gatasun, over those people, things, situations which are dead and gone. Whatever is gone, past, they don't worry them about them at all. Asu means life. Asu means life. Gata asu means whose life is gone. That means who are dead. Gata asun means, asu means life. Gata asu means whose life is dead. This should mean not only people, but also situations, but also things. I had something, it is not there today, no grief. There was a situation yesterday that is not there anymore, no grief. There was somebody yesterday who is not there today, no grief. So that's what he says. So wise men never worry over the people, things or situations which have already passed away. They are gone. They pass soon. And they will not also worry about the other thing also. What is the other thing? Agata asun. Agata asun over those which have not come by yet, which have not passed away. They are still alive. Here also it means what? People, situations, and also things. About all those things which have not happened yet. All those situations which have not arisen yet. All those people who are not dead, not died yet. He is not going to worry about all those also. That means wise people do not grieve over people, things, and situations which are present or past. That they are here now, they are past and gone again. So other than these two, what else is there in life? There is nothing else. So nothing to be worried about at all. So because there cannot be anything else in the world which is beyond the definition of these two. So that's what Krishna says. So over these two things, wise people do not worry. That means wise people do not worry. Mean what? They have no opportunity at all to worry over anything. Wise people have no opportunity at all to worry over anything. As a wise man, what he said normally, the problem which you cannot solve, never worry. So, you know, a scholar says, whatever problem you have, if you cannot solve, don't worry, because no worry will help you. You cannot solve it. Okay. The problem which you can solve, what you should do? Solve it, don't worry. Which you can solve, you solve it. No point in worrying about it also. For all other things you can worry. That's what he says. What other things are left? Nothing else is left. So nothing deserves to be worried. That's what the scholar says. There is nothing else in creation which deserves worry, which are fit to be worried. Therefore Krishna says, wise men never grieve over past or which is not past. They never grieve at all. And now Krishna is lashing Arjuna indirectly. What he says? When he says, wise men never worry, what does it mean? You are worrying. Who are you? You are not wise. You are not a wise person, you are an ignorant person. I have to make a conclusion here, because you are worrying, you are not wise, you should be ignorant. So through the example of Krishna, he is telling all of us that worrying in life doesn't make any sense at all. So all those who worry, he calls them apanditaha. Panditaha, wise people. People who worry are apanditaha, so they are all worrying because it's a sign of ignorance. So worry is a sign of ignorance. That's what Krishna concludes. That means ignorance is the cause of grief. So when somebody is grieving, what is the cause? Ignorance is the cause. They cannot analyze how the grief can come. What is the cause of the grief? They cannot split and analyze. So they are ignorant. So ajnana eva shokasya karanam. Ajnanam alone, ignorance alone is the karanam, cause for shokam, grief. Okay, if ajnanam is shokasya karanam, what is the way to get out of shoka? If ajnanam is ignorance is the karanam for shoka, what is the way to get out of shoka? Ajnana nashaha jnanam will come. By destroying ajnanam, by getting out of ignorance, then only you will get jnanam, then you will get. So ajnana nashaha, if that has to happen, if ajnanam has to be destroyed, ignorance has to be destroyed, jnanam has to come, self-knowledge has to come. So jnanam eva shoka mokshasya karanam. That alone is the karanam for the nivritti, to get out of shoka or grief. I should become then what? A pandita. I should become a pandita, a wise person. Now I am an apandita, so I am grieving. The word pandita actually is used in various contexts. Now these days people say pandit means somebody is scholarly in this and that. So he is a pandit in this. Normally it is loosely used. Normally pandita refers to atmajnani only. A person who is in self-knowledge. A person endowed with self-knowledge alone is called an atmajnani, a pandita. Since I am an atma ajnani, I am ignorant. Because I am ajnani, I am grieving. If I become atma jnani, I will never grieve. That is the conclusion. So what is the essence of this shloka? The whole Vedanta is put in 3 points in this shloka. What are them? The definition of samsara is grief. Samsara is grief. All sorrow is grief. All other things are only modifications of grief. Whether it is anger, whether it is depression, whether it is anxiety, whether it is desire, all others are only modifications of grief. Number one. Then grief is the essence of ajnana. Ajnanam is ignorance. So that is the essence of ajnanam. And grief is because of ajnanam. And finally, jnanam alone is the only solution for grief. These are the 3 points brought out in this shloka. So it is the substance of the entire Bhagavad Gita also, which is given in this one shloka. And so Arjuna, be wise. That's what Krishna is telling. Don't be unwise. Be wise and get out of your grief. That is the teaching. Now Krishna will be elaborating this idea in the following various shlokas. So this is the nutshell of this entire teaching. He is going to elaborate on each of them. Natve vaham jatu nasam.
Natve vaham jatu nasam. Natve vaham jatu nasam.
Natvam ne me janadipaha.
Natvam ne me janadipaha. Natvam ne me janadipaha.
Natve vaham jatu nasam. Natvam ne me janadipaha.
Natve vaham jatu nasam. Natvam ne me janadipaha. Natve vaham jatu nasam. Natvam ne me janadipaha.
Na chaiva na bhavishyamaha.
Na chaiva na bhavishyamaha. Na chaiva na bhavishyamaha.
Sarve vayam atapparam.
Sarve vayam atapparam. Sarve vayam atapparam.
Na chaiva na bhavishyamaha. Sarve vayam atapparam.
Na chaiva na bhavishyamaha. Sarve vayam atapparam. Na chaiva na bhavishyamaha. Sarve vayam atapparam.
Now Krishna is going to analyze Arjuna's grief and try to sort out the problem. That's what Krishna is going to do. He first makes Arjuna to think a little bit, because this guy is grief sticker. To make him think is very difficult. He is now attempting to make Arjuna think. Now he is asking, oh Arjuna, why are you grieving? First question he is asking. You are thinking of Bhishma, you are thinking of Drona, these are all very dear people. You are grieving over them. So their death is the one that is causing worry in you. Because you don't want to kill them. How can I kill Bhishma? So their death is causing worry in them because you yourself said in the first chapter what you said, Guru na hatva hi mahana bhavane, that's what he said. You should be pratiyotsyami. How I can do that? Katam, you should be pratiyotsyami. You are asking all these questions about killing Bhishma and Drona. In short, your grief is due to the assumed death of Bhishma and Drona. You are first assuming you are going to kill them. And that's because you don't even know. War has not broken yet. Already you have assumed that you are going to kill them. And your grief is based on that. So when you talk about death, then clearly you think, what is dying? What is death? You clearly think. What do you mean by saying that Bhishma is dying? Or Drona is dying? What do you really mean by that? Here, for the sake of analysis, Krishna divides each one, Bhishma, Drona, etc., into two parts. One, Bhishma, the Atma, and Bhishma, the body, Anatma. We already used the word Anatma earlier, Atma and Anatma. Anatma is the body, is the Atma consciousness. For every person, there is this Sthula, this grass body, Sukshma, the subtle body, and Karana Shariram, the causal body. We already saw it in the first class about Tattva Bodha. The grass, subtle, and the causal body for everybody. So, sthulam, sukshmam, karana shariraat, vyatiriktaham, atma. We saw that also. The atma is beyond the grass body, subtle body, and the causal body. We saw that also. In fact, everybody is a mixture of both atma and anatma. Anatma body and atma chaitanyam consciousness. Everybody is a mixture of both of them. So when you say the death of Bhishma, Krishna is asking, are you worried over the death of Bhishma, the Atma, the consciousness, or are you worried about the death of Bhishma, the body, the Sharira? What is it you are worried about? This is known as a Vikalpa method in Vedanta. Vikalpa means division. So you divide the problem. For example, if you have got a big thick rope, you cannot cut the rope very straightforward. So what do? You remove the strands. Once you untie the strands, remove, then you can cut them easily. So that's what is called Vikalpa method. So if your intellect is functioning, normally when somebody is grieving, intellect never functions, it is blunted. Then if your intellect is functioning, then we can put the question to see why we really grieve. A grieving person can really put the question to himself if he is composed, why he is really grieving. Then we write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are the reasons why I might grieve. And then if you go on analyzing each one of them, one will find out there is no point in grieving at all. This is the essence of any grief. Any worry, this is simply the analysis. So, that is the two main vikalpas, the two main divisions are Atmasmarana, the death of Atma, the consciousness, or Anatmasmaranam, the death of the body. These are the two things. Now, Krishna is again going to divide it into five or six vikalpas. He is going to do that. He is going to say name and fame, one can worry about them. Dharma, adharma, one can be worried about them. Mana, apamana, one can be worried about them. So he can divide them further again into any of those categories also. Now the first answer is what? Killing Atma is not possible. We already told. Atma is beyond all of them. Atma cannot be. So worrying about the death of Atma is meaningless. You cannot worry because Atma can never die. Bhishma's Atma will never die. Atma never dies, so grief over Atma, Atma Maranam is going to be meaningless. He is going to talk about them in the 12th and 13th shlokas. And in the 12th shloka, he will say, Atma does not have death at all, it is eternal, it is Nityaha. So Bhishma, the Atma, never dies. Okay. Now, how do we show Atma is eternal? Yeah, that is the next question. Because now you are starting with the premise that Atma will never die. How will you show that Atma is eternal? Krishna is telling that in an indirect manner. He can just say, Atma is eternal and be done. We are not going to question Krishna. But he is giving it in an indirect method. He says, how do we differentiate normally something which is permanent or eternal and non-eternal, which is impermanent? How do we distinguish between permanent and impermanent things? Again, we have to go through the analysis. When a thing is temporary or non-eternal, what it has got an existence for some time. For example, between January 1st of 2010 to July 20th of 2010, something existed. So it had an existence during a particular period of time. That means what? Before January 1st, 2000, it was non-existent. It was not there before 1st. Similarly, there will be a time, it will not be non-existent again after that July 20th, whatever it is. So before that day, there was no existence. After this date, there was no existence. Only in between the time, there was an apparent existence. That's what we consider as existence. Such things, we call them temporary. So which do not exist earlier, which are not going to exist later, they have a limited existence during this time, we call those things as temporary, we call them as non-eternal. This is a roundabout definition by Krishna. Okay. So that which that had a past non-existence, they did not exist, that which that had a past non-existence and that will also have a future non-existence, that is considered to be temporary. That is supposed to be non-eternal. And why do we say we are all temporary? Because we all have a date of birth. We definitely will have a date of death. We may not know now, but definitely there is, because if you go to all cemeteries, there is a stone which says this day to this day. There is going to be a date of death also. So, prag abhavaha, past is not going to be there. And pradvamsa abhavaha, future also is not there. So, prag, pradvamsa, abhavam, rahitatvatam, atma, nityaha. Atma is considered nityam, permanent, because it doesn't have the past non-existence also. It is not having future non-existence also. So now, if this is the definition of temporary object, what we just now said, what is that of a permanent object? That we have to see next. Simply the opposite of that. What is the opposite? A permanent object is that which does not have a past non-existence and which will not also have a future non-existence and will exist in future also. That means exists in all three periods of time, past, present and future. That alone Krishna is telling here, O Arjuna, aham na asam iti na. Aham na asam iti na. It's a peculiar language. Krishna is putting all double negatives everywhere. It is not that I was non-existent in the past. He is telling, he could have simply said I was existent. But he said, it was not that I was not existent in the past. Aham na asam na iti. So, I was existent in the past, that's what I here refers to what? The capital I, Atma. When he says, Krishna says, I, aham, it refers to Atma. And the same thing is true with you also, Krishna says. It is not only for me, it is true with you also. Natvam. It is not that you were not non-existent in the past. You were also existent in the past. That is, you, the Atma, was existent in the past also. And not only you. Naime janadipaha, even all these kings, all these people who are fighting this war, all these people also, not that they were non-existent earlier, they were existent also. Atma, the Atma, even Bhishma's Atma, Drona's Atma, everybody's Atma, they were all existent, not they were non-existent in the past, they were existent in the past also. Okay, what about the future? Here also, that also he uses double negative. He says, nacha eva na bhavishyamaha. Nacha eva na bhavishyamaha is not that we will become non-existent. That means we will be existent. He is putting again, it's not that we will become non-existent. In future, we will be existing. That is Bhishma, Drona, Arjuna, the Atma will be existent in future also. That is why it is said here, sarve vayam ataha param. Ataha param means in future, hereafter. Hereafter, technically speaking what? Prior non-existence is denied for Atma. For consciousness, prior non-existence is denied. Future non-existence is also denied. For the Atma, that means what? Existence was there in the past. Existence will be there in the future. Of course, in the present it is existing. So, in short, Atma was, will be, and is. Atma is, Atma was, Atma will be forever. So, prag, pradvamsam, abhavam, rahitatvate, Atma, nityaha. So this is about the nityatvam, the eternal nature of Atma. That's what he's telling. Now, how is it connected? How this is connected with Arjuna's grief? He is telling all this Vedanta. How this is connected with Arjuna's grief? Arjuna, there is a worry here. The connection is what? You cannot worry over the Atma's death. That is how it is connected. You cannot worry about Atma's death because Atma never dies. it will never die. Worrying is improper about an atma which will never die. And this he will further consolidate in the next shloka. Dehi no asmin yata dehe.
Dehi no asmin yata dehe. Dehi no asmin yata dehe.
Kaumaram yauvanam jara.
Kaumaram yauvanam jara. Kaumaram yauvanam jara.
Dehi ne asmin yata dehe. Kaumaram yauvanam jara.
Dehi no asmin yata.
ಧೀರಸ್ತತ್ರ ನ ಮುಹ್ಯತಿ says the atma continues to be the same, the consciousness continues to be the same when the body goes through changes. Body goes through various modification. The body was in the initial state, boyhood state, it was as a young boy, kaumara avastha, that is called. Then later it completely changed in the youthful stage. You can even give a new name because everything got replaced, all the old cells are gone, new cells have come. The boy has shown so much of different, everything changed. So this body is, you can even give a different name. So it's a youthful stage, completely replaced by from all the old ones. And the body has changed, but what has not changed? When you ask the person, what he says, I was a boy, I am a youth. What is common? I is common. So the consciousness has not changed, only the body has changed from one stage to another stage. But body is not, but the blood has changed, the cells have changed, everything else has changed. Actually, there are sixfold modifications Vedanta gives. Shariram, asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyati. Shariram asti, jayate, it is born, vardate, it grows, then viparinamate, it changes, apakshiyate, decays, vinashyati, dies. So these are the various modifications of the body. Body changes, continuously changes. But the same person says, I was a boy, was a youth, I was a grahastha, I am a vanaprasthi, I am a sannyasi. The same person says, I is common in all of them. I refers to that chaitanyam, that consciousness. Only that is common, whereas body has completely changed. And then body becomes from youth, it becomes kaumaram, yauvanam, youth, and then jara, old age. Body goes to old age again. Then what is the common factor in all of them is atma. That's what he says. Asmin dehe, in this body, there are the changes of kaumaram, yauvanam, jara. Kaumaram is boyhood, yauvanam youthful stage, and jara old age. All these things, they all happen in my body, but atma, the chaitanyam, remains the same. And the teacher says, you can now extrapolate this to the further also. From boyhood, youth, jara old age, then what next? Death. And after death, so you can extrapolate further also, when this body is completely replaced, then also the atma must be the same. This body is completely replaced by another body, I take another janma, another birth. This body is completely replaced by another body, what is still remaining? Atma remains. Just by extrapolation. So when the dress is constantly changing, I am changes within the dress. I may wear yellow dress today, tomorrow pink dress, something else, doesn't matter. But I don't change. Under the dress, I don't change, I am the same individual. So the body dress, it gets worn over a period of time. Kaumaram, yauvanam, jara, all these stages in life, this body gets worn up, and then what happens? I have to get another body, it is good. Because we want to get rid of the old torn dress, and then put another body. Normally you put so many patches into the dress perhaps, you know, there is something torn here, something torn there, so you put patches and keep on. How long you can keep the patches? You would replace a kidney once, you would replace some other heart once, you would replace something else. How long you can keep doing? At one stage, no more patch will work. At that time, you go out and get another body. That's what happens. If a person has not become a jnani, if he becomes a jnani, it's a different question. So this is what's going to happen. So tatha dehantara praptihi. Then the body is completely at the end, the body is completely replaced by another body. For whom? Dehinaha. Dehi means Atma. Dehi refers to Atma. The Atma gets a totally different body replaced. That's what happens. Atma ever remains. Dhiraha tatra na mukhyati. Dhiraha means wise people. Wise man. The wise person na mukhyati never gets confused with this. A wise person knows this crystal clear. He knows the body is different from me. It can undergo change. It can be there today. It can be there tomorrow. Does not matter. I never change. I, the Chaitanyam, never change. The wise man knows. The wise man knows that. He does not have a confusion between himself and his dress, namely the body. Himself, the Chaitanyam, and the dress, the body. He has no confusion. He does not consider himself to be lost when this dress, body dress is lost. In fact, he is only happier because he got a new dress. That's what he got. So intelligent people are never unhappy over the change of the body because the Atma does not get replaced. It is the same Dehi alone. Dehi refers to Atma. Therefore, Dhiraha Tatra na Mukhyati. So in these two shlokas, Krishna talked from the standpoint of Atma. So the question was, you can divide Atma, Bhishma's Atma, Bhishma's body. He now talked about from the standpoint of Bhishma's Atma. More about Atma, he is going to talk further in the 16th sloka onwards, which you will see elaborately later. Here, this is an answer in a nutshell. Now, the next question will be what? He can take the second alternative. What he can say, oh Krishna, I am not worried about this Atma at all. The Atma is a business I never understand. Because I cannot see that. Who can understand Atma? Nobody can understand Atma. I am not worried about Atma. What I am familiar with? I am familiar with Bhishma's body only. Because I played with him. He kept me on his lap. He always encouraged me. He was my mentor. He is Pitamaha. So I always like Bhishma's body only. Now I am worried about the death of Bhishma's body alone. Arjuna may take that stand. Right? Because he is not worried about the Atma. Therefore I am worried about the death of Bhishma the Anatma. Not Bhishma the Atma, Bhishma the Anatma, the Shariram, the body, where Anatma, Atma exists or not, is not my question at all. I am not interested also in that right now. Then Krishna will say in the next shloka, even that is not proper. That's what Krishna is going to say in the next shloka. Matra sparshastu kaunteya.
Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Matra sparshastu kaunteya.
Shitoshna sukha dukha da.
Shitoshna sukha dukha da. Shitoshna sukha dukha da.
Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukha da.
Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukha da. Matra sparshastu kaunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukha da.
Agama payino nitya.
Agama payino nitya. Agama payino nitya.
Tam sthiti kshasva bharata. Now we can take the nature of things. For example, in a day-to-day example, we are taking coffee every day. And when a coffee is very hot, then we can complain because coffee is too hot. It's very hot. You cannot take it. So I want slightly hotter coffee. There is fire, for example, you touch it, fire is hot. Can you complain fire is hot? We can never complain fire is hot. We can complain coffee is hot. But we can never complain fire is hot. Because we know the intrinsic property of fire is to be hot. We understand that. We can never have a cold fire. It's a hot. Same thing like cold ice. Ice is cold. You can never complain ice is cold. It's a fact. It's a nature. It is a fact that fire is hot. It is a fact that ice is cold. But it is not a fact that coffee has to be only hot. Because the hotness of coffee is not inherent to coffee. It is a borrowed property of coffee. Coffee was itself there. You heated it. It acquired the property of fire and became hot. So it had an acquired property that gave hotness to coffee. Now, I cannot adjust the fire to my liking, but I can adjust the hotness of coffee to my liking. But I cannot adjust the hotness of the fire. So we can never grieve over a fact. Fire is hot, it's a fact. I can never grieve over that. I can never complain about it. I cannot try to change it also. Worrying cannot change the fact. Worrying over anything will never change a fact, however sincere is your worry. You can say, my worry is very sincere. We can still never change the nature of fire to be hot, however much your worry is sincere. Majority of the situation in life, we only face facts. But we worry about them. That is the problem. We face facts most of the time, but we worry about them without understanding. That is a fact. We have to live with it. We have to accept it. We cannot change it. The body being anatma, it will change. It's the nature of body. It will change. Growing, it will grow. And growing, it will also go away one day. They are all facts. No point in worrying about that. I can never worry over. I got so many gray hairs. You cannot worry about it. Because it's body. What will you do? It will happen. The primary fact is that anatma, the matter, the body and the world, not only the body, the entire world, they are all anatma. They can never remain the same. They will always change. Anatma is savikaraha. Vikara means modification. Savikaraha means endowed with modification. Anatma, the body, is endowed with modification. It will change. It is the nature of it. It is a fact. I have to learn to prepare to say bye-bye to this body one day. That is what I should remember too, because it will change. Because bye-bye not only to this body, to people, to relationships, to things, I should be able to say bye-bye to them anytime, because they are all, they will change. That is the nature of that. Just as the body changes, the world also changes constantly. We can never stop the world. The weather changes, the people in the world changes, the characters change, situations change, relationships change, they always change. We can never stop them also. My own child, actually, it is like this today. Oh, the child was running around, was sitting on my lap, all that thing, very nice. And becomes a youth. Dad, I know what I want. I know everything else. I don't need anything for you to tell me. The same child will say. After some time, you can sit in a corner. Child is fully the driver. You can sit, enjoy in the corner. You have got to sit out. You gave sit out to the child when the child was young. Now the child gives you sit out. They sit out. But you should learn to accept it. You should know at that time, I'm not the driver anymore. Driver is him. Driver is his family. There are these people. So the child, boy or girl, they are the drivers. Now it is for me to sit and whatever life I had got, I have fulfilled my responsibilities now, no problem. Let me enjoy the life. Think of Ishwara or who come, volunteer or whatever it is. Involve yourself in some activity or the other so that you won't worry about them, because there is no point in worrying about them. Yeah, that is how nature is. So learn to accept changes. In this cosmic process of changing, things come together sometimes, because world is constantly changing, so people can meet together. We call it samyogaha. Samyogaha, people can get together. Happiness. When they get together, you are happy. You are around them. There are people whom you like, so it is very nice. And the same people you get together, after some time they will leave. Viyogaha. At that time you worry, you are unhappy. Oh, the person who was so close to me is gone. So samyoga, viyoga, they are all facts. They will happen. No point in worrying about them. So Krishna asks Arjuna, whether has he ever thought about this aspect of it at all? Samyoga and viyoga. You come together, people can leave also. He is not talking about death. Even being together is not possible all the time. People will be together possible like a train journey. You have got friends during the train journey. When the station comes, they leave. You are all nice friends talking so many nice things. They leave after some time. Same thing in life too. If we analyze, most of our crying is because we do not accept these facts. It's a fact. We don't accept them. So when the son goes for a job elsewhere, we cry. Oh, how I can send my son all the way 10,000 miles away to America? You cry. It's a fact. He will go and he will establish a life there. Things will go. By your worrying, nothing is going to change. This is what will happen. So 99% of our worry is because of comfortably we forget facts. We do not try to accept facts. Krishna says, learn to accept these facts. You are changing. world is changing and coming together and going away is the fact of life. That's what he says. Matras sparshastu kaunteya. Kaunteya, O Arjuna, sparshaha. Sparshaha refers to sense objects. Sparshaha refers to sense objects and matra refers to sense organs. Sense organs and sense organs. Miyante vishayi kriyanate anaya iti matraha. By which you come to know. That is, by which you come to know. Ma means know. Matra. Ma means know. Matra means knowing instrument. The instrument through which you know. Namely, the sense organ. Through the sense organ only I can know. By my hand I can touch. All those things I know through my sense organs. Sparshaha. Sparshaha, that which is contacted with the five sense organs. Sparshaha refers to whatever object is contacted with the five sense organs. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa and Gandha. These are the five sense organs. Shabda means sound, Sparsha means touch, Rupa the form, Rasa the taste and Gandha the smell. So the five sense organs that come in contact with any object and enable us to understand what they are, it refers to all of them. So five sense organs contact five different varieties of sense objects. All the sense organs, the five sense organs come in contact with five different varieties of sense objects. Since this contact is constantly changing, if one experience is going to give pleasure, another experience might give me not pleasure also, it may give me dukkha, pain, possible. For example, somebody likes Western music, I love it so much. For another person, he wants to shut it off. Immediately, no more music, that's noisy for him. For this person, he enjoys it so much. So whatever is good for him. So samyoga, he brings people because of that association. Some people want to get out of it, yoga. So when it is switched off, you get happiness off. So if samyoga gives pleasure, vyoga may give dukkha, unhappiness. Any object will give both happiness and unhappiness also. Because when the object you desire comes to you, you are happy. The one that you desire goes away from you, you are unhappy. So if you really make a list, sources of joy and sorrow, every day make a list. What are the sources of joy for me today? Whatever you list, you can list the same thing opposite to the other person. What was joy to me was not joy for the other person. We can go on listing. So Krishna says, Shitoshnam, Sukham, Dukkha, Daha. All these objects like Shabda, Sparsha, they will all those things, they will definitely give opposite experiences. Dvandva, we call it in Vedanta, Dvandva in the form of Shita, cold, Ushna, hot. Sukha, pleasure, Dukkha. Dukkha means pain. So discomfort. So you can always add to that mana, apamana, all those things, profit, loss, everything can be grouped in this category. So every sense object will give opposite experiences. Sitoshnam, sukha, dukkha, daha. Daha means they will give. Pradadati iti daha. So this is one fact. So situation will give opposite experiences. This one fact we have to learn to accept. Then what is the second fact? Agamaha apayinaha. They are bound to come and go. Agamaha apayinaha. They are bound to come and go away. Except what? Except Atma. All other situations, friendship, people, they will all come and go. Because of what? Because Anatma is Anitya. Anatma, all the body, all the situations are all Anitya. Atma is Nitya. We saw earlier, these are all impermanent Anitya. Impermanence is there, temporary. So we call that the worldly pressure is relative pressure only. It's not an absolute pressure at any time, relative pressure only. Every pressure comes along with pain. We have to understand that. What is pressure today may be painful tomorrow. Every pressure comes with pain. For example, every rose has its thorn. The moment you want to pluck a rose, thorn will be there. So every income comes with what? An income tax also. You have to pay tax for every income. So you can never experience the worldly pressure at all, which is uniformly pleasurable throughout or uniformly painful throughout. It's never possible. So this is what we call it as apekshikam. Apekshikam means relative in Vedanta. So this fact we have to learn to accept. So tam stitikshasva bharata. Bharata means who, Arjuna? Tam stitikshasva. It is a very, very important qualification, namely titiksha. Titiksha, we already told in the earlier, Shama Damadi, all these six-fold qualification is Titiksha for balance. Shama Dama Uparma Titiksha for balance. And what is Titiksha? It is intelligently accepting the fact alone is the diksha. Whatever is a fact, I learn to accept. Where we can change, it is fine. I can make the change. It's not a passive philosophy. Don't just sit quiet. If you can change something, change it. No problem. Because people should not think, oh, I cannot do anything. No. If you can change, change it. There is no pessimistic approach here at all. Where we cannot change, that whole problem comes, learn to accept it. Normally, this, you know, in this store, they have this serenity prayer. You might have seen that. Lord, give me the strength to change what can be changed. What can be changed? Give me the strength to change it and the power to change it and the resources to change it. Give me the strength to accept what cannot be changed. Cannot be changed? Let us learn to accept it. And what is most important? Give me the wisdom to know the difference. I should have the wisdom to know the difference between these two. That is what Abhay says. So people may have many situations. Some relative may be handicapped. Someone is born with a congenital disease. Possible. A defect. If medicine can cure, well and good. Take all the efforts to cure them. If it is not possible, learn to accept it. That's the no choice. Death is a changeless fact. So also is change. Change also is a changeless fact. Change will always happen. People can be different. What is my value need not be the value for my daughter, for my wife. They are all independent entities. So we don't have to impose our value systems into them. We have got traditional values that is different. But what I think is correct may not be thought as correct by the other person. For example, my taste, I always may like cabbage. They may not like, so fine. So every day you don't have to insist on making only cabbage. So titikshasva, acceptance. And acceptance also are of two types. You can accept either with pleasure or you can accept, oh, I have to accept. No, always accept with pleasure. Why? You cannot change. Cannot change is a fact. So when it is a fact, accept it gracefully. Do not accept it with grief. Accept it gracefully. So that's why actually in Viveka Chudamani Acharya says, Sahanam sarva dukkhanam apratikara purvakam chinta vilapa rahitam. No murmuring, no grumbling. Chinta vilapa rahitam. Life means situations will come. Situations will go. That's what Rama said. Momentary response can be there. But one should not be thinking about it all the time. Momentarily we can respond to things. It doesn't matter. We should not be grieving over this all the time. So titiksha. Titiksha is happy acceptance of facts of life. Forbearance is not, oh, I have to tolerate this. No. It is happy acceptance of facts of life. So when the death of Bhishma and Drona, etc. come, it is a fact. Accept it. At that time, do not grieve. So better learn to be without them right now. Since one day will come, they will go away. One day will come, they will be gone. So at that time, do not grieve. So, tam titikshasva, learn to accept them happily. Yam hi navyatayantyete.
Yam hi navyatayantyete. Yam hi navyatayantyete.
Purusham purusharshabham.
Purusham purusharshabham. Purusham purusharshabham.
Yam hi navyatayantyete. Purusham purusharshabham.
Yam hi navyatayantyete. Purusham purusharshabham.
Sukham dhiram,
sama dukkha sukham dhiram, sama dukkha sukham dhiram.
Somrutatvaya kalpate,
somrutatvaya kalpate, somrutatvaya kalpate.
Sama dukkha sukham dhiram, somrutatvaya kalpate,
sama dukkha sukham dhiram, somrutatvaya kalpate, sama dukkha sukham dhiram.
So if you live like that, gaining sufficient strength to go through opposite experiences, Sitoshna, experiences in life, which is inevitable, which you cannot change. So for example, during Upanayana ceremony, the Vivaham also, in these ceremonies, there are lot of rituals. And one ritual is called Asmarohana, to climb over a stone. Asmarohana, a stone, Arohana, you get on that. Atishta imam asmanam. Asma iva tvam stiro astirabhava. Stirabhava if it's a boy for Upanayana, stirabhava if it's a girl during Vivaha. Like this stone, you be firm. That is the meaning of this mantra. Asma iva, like this stone, you have to be firm in life. you should be steadfast. You should be having a one-pointed thing, strength and strong mind you should have. So hard like a stone, which is not going to be affected, whether it is in sun, whether it is in moon, doesn't matter, rain, the stone is not going to be affected. You have to be firm like that stone. That is what they teach during all these ceremonies, Upanayana ceremony, thread ceremony, and Vivaha ceremony. Because when the girl gets married, it goes to a different house, starting a different life. You don't know what kind of situations will come. The new relatives, how they are going to be, we don't know. Then normally what they say, within 1 minute or 2 minutes, they put this Mangala Sutra, right? Takes only 1 minute. What happens? The next minute, this guy or that girl has got a whole host of new band of relatives. So many brother-in-law, sister-in-law, father-in-law, mother-in-law, that cousin's cousin. So many come. You have to deal with all of them now. And there can be some situations which are pleasant, some may not be pleasant. So you should be firm, you should be strong. So this is the prayer, one of the prayers in these mantras. So if one learns to face life, the odds of life, and can remain cool, first thing was, life will not become miserable. If they can do that, life will not be miserable. Secondly, mainly again, such a person alone can approach Vedanta. Because our interest is what? We should not forget that. Arjuna Krishna story is not important to us. Ultimately, Vedanta is what our subject is here. So if we have to approach Vedanta, first we should be strong internally, because the pursuit of Vedanta requires a strong and non-reacting mind. Mind should not be reactive at all. We are non-reacting mind. It should be concentrated, it should be focused mind. Vedanta Shravanam, to learn Vedanta, it requires a calm mind. And only a person with titiksha, forbearance, and who can accept things, can understand Vedanta, and only then the permanent solution to the problem, namely moksha, will come. Ignorance, if it has to go, these are things requirements. So that's what Krishna says, yam yetana yatayanti. Who is not affected by these two, the pairs of opposites, sukha and dukkha. Because yata means who is affected. Sukham and dukkham. Sita and Ushna, Mana, Apamana, Labha, Nashta, Profit, Loss, Jananam, Maranam. So that strong person who is not affected by any of them, not affected by such opposites, that person is Sama Dukkha Sukham. The same idea is explained further here. Who is Samaha? Samaha means poised, equanimous. He is undisturbed in what? In Sukham and Dukkham, in happiness and in pain. He is not affected by them at all, he is poised. Not that he has a thickened skin like a buffalo. Normally we will say, oh, this is like, you know, if rain on a buffalo, it doesn't react. It's not that kind of a person. He's a very sensitive person. But he has learned to accept them. That's what, he's a wise person. He does not react, not because his thin skin is very thick. He does not react because of understanding, out of understanding. Because any change, only when it comes at the understanding level, will stay with it permanently. That is why in our scriptures, they emphasized understanding of the fundamentals all the time. If you do not understand something, if you do it only because father said, mother said, somebody said, it will go away after some time. We have to learn to understand. But problem, the complaint is what? Nobody tells me. That's what normally people come. Oh, the priest comes and does all this Upanayana ceremony at my home. He recited all these mantras. I didn't know anything. He didn't tell me anything. What did you do to understand? To understand that question nobody asks. You have to get up, go learn. If it is Sanskrit language, learn Sanskrit language. If not, there are translations available, learn them. Unless you put your effort to learn, you don't expect somebody to spoon feed you all the information. Never possible. There are so many things, so much of knowledge available in the world. How you can get every one of them? You have to get out and make that effort to learn them. So normally it's a common complaint everybody says. Oh, that person comes, he said so many things, I don't understand. You have to get out to understand. So that's what he says here. So in spite of being sensitive, this person, he does not react because he has developed the inner strength. He is firm now. And the one who is equanimous in sukham and dukkham, in pleasure and pain, who is dhiraha, he is a viveki. He is a wise person. He can discriminate between what is good and what is not good. He can understand situations and analyze them properly. He knows what is permanent, what is impermanent. So, sattva guna pradanaha, the person who is sattvic, very mature person in nature, such a person, he is called purusham, purusharshabaha. He is the greatest among men. Rishabha means bull. So, among men, he is like a bull, means he is very strong and he is unique, he is great. That's what it means. Saham Amrutatvaya Kalpate. He alone, Saham, becomes fit to get self-knowledge. Amrutatvaya Kalpate. Amrutatvaya means he has self-knowledge. He is the one who is fit to have self-knowledge, immortality. So Arjuna, from the point of view of Atma, you cannot worry because Atma never dies. Then you cannot complain that Shariram is dying and worry also, because it is a fact. Shariram will die. It is a fact. You can never shed tears over the death of a body because it is a fact. As Dharmaputra says, there is only one wonder. You know, what is that wonder? The body is surviving is a wonder. Really true. From the moment you get out of the house, you don't know. In India, you know, the Yama comes in so many forms. In the road, any form he can come. You never know. So the body, if it is surviving, that alone is the wonder. Look at the odds against you every time. In spite of all that, if you are still surviving, that is a wonder. So, four slokas were done so far. Two slokas said that Atma is nitya. It's permanent and there is no worry. The other two said Atma is anitya. It's anityam, it is impermanent, no point in worry. So, this is what both the slokas, four slokas said. So, the topic that Atma is nitya, that is going to be now expanded further from the 15th sloka onwards. So you know how the gradually the development is going? Now Atma is Nityaha, Anatma is Anityaha. Now how Atma is Nitya, he is going to elaborate in the next shlokas. Nasato vidyate bhavaha.
Nasato vidyate bhavaha. Nasato vidyate bhavaha.
Nabhavo vidyate sataha.
Nabhavo vidyate sataha. Nabhavo vidyate sataha.
Sato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha.
Na sato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha. Na sato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha.
Ubhayorapi drishtontaha.
Ubhayorapi drishtontaha. Ubhayorapi drishtontaha.
Tattva-darshibihi. Ubhayorapi drushtontaha. Tvanayos tattva-darshibihi.
Ubhayorapi drushtontaha. Tvanayos tattva-darshibihi. Ubhayorapi drushtontaha. Tvanayos tattva-darshibihi.
It's a very important shloka. But Krishna brings out the idea that Atma is Satyam, Atma is the truth, and Anatma is Mithya. Mithya is appears to be truth but not truth. So Atma is Satyam, Anatma body is Mithya. So the Satyam Mithya Sambandha, it's a technical point in Vedanta, is beautifully conveyed in one sloka here. And what is the definition of Satyam and Mithya? We have to understand them a little more clearly. Actually, in Tattva Bodha, actually, we didn't go into this portion of it. I only introduced the various bodies and all. I didn't go into that. We can just capture a few elements of them right now. Satyam is that which that enjoys its own intrinsic existence. Satyam is attributed to any object if it has its own intrinsic existence. That which has a borrowed existence, which depends on something else for its existence, that is called Mithya. So this is the definition in Vedanta. Satyam has independent existence, Mithya has dependent existence. It depends on something else to exist. And if you go with this definition, all the temporary objects will be Mithya. Because they don't have an existence of their own. They are all Mithya, they are all perishable, non-eternal things. They are all called Mithya in Vedanta. In Vedanta they are called Mithya. So body is called Mithya. Because it is changing, it is not true. Because any object which is temporary, say for even one day, that object did not enjoy existence before its date of death. We went through this earlier. So after death also it is not going to have existence. So during a short period only, that body had an existence. And Vedanta says, if something enjoys a property only for some time, not permanently, only for some time, it is a borrowed property. Vedanta puts it all categorically. This is only a borrowed property. It's not its own property. If it's its own property, it will not be existing only for that time. It will be existing all the time. So every temporary object exists only for some time, then the existence does not belong to it. Existence does not belong to it. If the existence belonged to it, then it would have permanently been existent. That's what Vedanta says. Because the heat, for example, in the fire, belongs to the fire. The fire is permanently hot, but not coffee. Because coffee does not have heat in it as an intrinsic property. It is a borrowed property from fire. So this is the rule. A temporary object enjoys existence only for a short time. And so existence does not belong to it. You know, this Vedanta puts it in slightly difficult terms. Existence does not belong to it. You know, that's what Vedanta says. So for example, we'll see an example. If you say the wave in an ocean. Now there is wave. We see the wave. Now, wave is existent. Yes, I am seeing a wave. It is rising. It is coming. It is coming to the shore and it is gone. So wave was existent. That's what I think. Right? Now, the water was existent before the birth of the wave, during the wave, and once the wave is gone also water was existent. So water was existent in all the three domains of time, whereas wave existed only during the time when I saw the wave. It was not there before, it died also afterwards. Right? So water enjoys the property of existence of its own, and wave does not enjoy the existence of its own, because water is wave was. Right? So if the wave become being temporary does not enjoy its own existence, then tell me, in the middle, is wave existent? It was not existent earlier. It is not existing afterwards. In the middle, when you saw the wave, was it existing? It looks as if it was existing, but water only was existing at that time also. The wave is only a nama rupa. It's only a name and form of water in that way. It's a wave. Okay? So wave comes under the mithya category, water comes under satya category. So water is satyam, wave is mithya. Previously, it was not sat. Later also, it is not going to be sat. In between, it appeared to be sat. Sat means existence. But then also, wave does not exist, only water alone exists. Okay. So, adav ante cha yad nasti vartamanepi tat tata. Whatever does not exist, adav in the beginning, ante at the end also, then vartamanepi in the present also, they are not. That's what the definition is. So wave is called asat. Water is called sat. Water is sat. Wave is asat. So Krishna says here, asataha bhavaha na vidyate. Asataha, for a temporary object, for a mithya object. Asat, asataha, asataha bhavaha. Bhavaha means intrinsic or natural existence. Na vidyate is not there. For a temporary object, natural existence is not there. That's what Krishna says. If it had intrinsic natural existence, then it would have been existent all the times. It is not. In the same way, sataha abhavaha na vidyate. Sataha, for a permanent object. For a permanent object, for a satya vastu, abhavaha, non-existence, na vidyate, is not there. So for a temporary object, existence is not there. For a permanent object, non-existence is not there. That's what he is defining. Which has its own existence. Now we have to extend this Atma and to Anatma. Atma is Sat Swarupam and Anatma is Asat Swarupam. Atma is nature of Atma is Sat. It is the existence principle. Anatma is Asat Swarupam. So Anatma, the body, was not there before, will not be there in the future, even in the intermediate period also. When I see the body, Anatma seems to be existent, but really speaking, it is not there. See, this is, we can understand wave. About the body, difficult to understand. Right? I'm there. If I beat it, pains. Right? So that is what Vedanta calls it as mithya. Okay? So Atma is Satyam and Anatma is mithya, and Bhishma, the Shariram, belongs to the mithya category. The mithya category, and do not worry about the changing perishable mithya shariram of Bhishma. So Krishna says, Tattva darshibihi, the wise people. Tattva darshibihi means the wise people who see the nature of things as tattvam, as nature, as its nature. anayoho antaha drishtaha. They recognize antaha. Here antaha means refers to swarupa. Antaha normally means end. Here antaha should be understood as swarupam, nature of all these things. Ubayoho anayoho. Both the ubayoho, both the atma and anatma, both satyam and mithya. That means, as even they are experiencing something in the back of their mind, tattvadarshini, the wise people, in the back of their mind, they have the knowledge. They may be experiencing everything. They see people, they enjoy, they also enjoy jokes, they also enjoy situations, no problem. But at the back of their mind, they always know what is satyam and what is mithya. They know. I am mentally prepared for getting detached from that very same day. If I have to detach myself, they can do that because they are jnanis. Those people, they understand what is truth. This is constantly there. Satyam and mithya, that viveka, that discriminative ability to understand what is satyam, truth, and what is mithya, which is not truth. One should be able to understand this tattva-drishti vihi. These jnanis, they can understand. O Arjuna, that is the only solution that you should have. Ubayoho. Ubayoho means sat asatoho. That means both sat and asat, atma and anatma. Avinashitu tadvidhi.
Avinashitu tadvidhi. Avinashitu tadvidhi.
Yena sarvamidam tatam.
Yena sarvamidam tatam. Yena sarvamidam tatam.
Avinashitu tadvidhi. Yena sarvamidam tatam.
Avinashitu tadvidhi. Yena sarvamidam tatam. Avinashitu tadvidhi. Yena sarvamidam tatam.
Vinasham avyayasyasya.
Vinasham avyayasyasya. Vinasham avyayasyasya.
Kaschit kartum arhati.
Kaschit kartum arhati. Kaschit kartum arhati.
Vinasham avyayasyasya. Kaschit kartum arhati.
Vinasham avyayasyasya. Kaschit kartum arhati. Vinasham avyayasyasya. Kaschit kartum arhati.
So in the previous sloka, Krishna talked about different aspects of Atma. In the 12th sloka, he said Atma is Nityaha, Atma is eternal. And in the 13th sloka, Atma is Nirvikaraha. It doesn't have any change. Kaumaram, Yavanam, Jara, all those changes are not there for Atma, he said. So Nirvikaraha. And in the 16th sloka, he is saying Atma is Satya. Sat or Satya. So to summarize, Krishna said about Atma so far, Atma is Nityaha. Atma is Nirvikaraha, Atma is Satya. Okay, these three things, yes. Nobody can touch the Atma, even when people say Prarabdha, Karma, etc., all those things. Oh, my Prarabdha, I have taken this Janma, this birth, so all these difficulties I go through because of my Prarabdha. Whatever one may say, even that Prarabdha, Karma cannot touch Atma. Cannot touch the consciousness, it can touch only the body. All the afflictions are only at the body level, not at the conscious level. So all this disease and all, etc., only for the body. So in the 17th shloka, Krishna adds one more aspect of Atma, which is sarvagataha, all pervading. So we thought we saw satyam, we saw nirvikara, and we saw nitya. Now we are seeing another one called sarvagataha. Atma is sarvagataha, all pervading. Atma is all pervading. So till now, what we could be thinking is what? My Atma is imperishable, no problem. My body is perishable. I understand. Anatma, my body is perishable. My Atma consciousness is not perishable. I understand. Similarly, your Atma is imperishable. Your body is perishable. We understand that. Everybody's Atma is imperishable. Everybody's body is perishable. So now, what conclusion we will come to? There are many, many Atmas. As many bodies are there. Your Atma, your body. His Atma, his body. Her Atma, her body. So as many Atmas are, there are bodies. But Krishna says, Arjuna, that is not true. Anatmas are many, bodies are many, but Atma, the consciousness, the Chaitanyam, is only one. That is what Krishna says. It's a very, these are all very loaded slokas. He says, Avinashitu tadvitti yena sarvamidam tatam. Tat means that sat Atma, satyavastu Atma, idam sarvam tatam. This whole universe is pervaded by that Atma alone, that Chaitanyam alone, that consciousness alone. The whole world is pervaded by that. That's what he says. That means there is only one Atma which pervades the entire creation. There are so many bodies. And how do we say so? As far as experience goes, the consciousness is divided only. That is my experience. Because I experience as consciousness here, and I experience in your body. I experience in your body, because when I say something, you react. You say something, you smile, or you yawn, whatever you do. I see all that. So this, our personal experience is that consciousness that is in every individual, so there should be many consciousness. That is our personal experience. So how do you account for the question of divided consciousness? We have to address first. How do we approach this question? Now if you say consciousness is everywhere, then we may ask whether consciousness there in this desk or not. This is an object. Is there consciousness in this desk? Yes, it's an inanimate object. Will it be there? So if I say yes, then there is a problem. Then it should be a living thing. If I say consciousness is there, then it should be living. And we ourselves made a distinction about living things and inert things and said living things have consciousness. You know, things which don't live don't have consciousness. So if dust must have consciousness, then it must be living. Then there's a problem. Then it should also get to walk. It should also do this thing. Although it does not walk, I may be holding it, may walk away. It may not like me, it may just leave. So how do you say that consciousness is undivided and all-pervading? It is against our experience. Our experience is this way only, but this against the statement is against the experience. For this, the answer is given that consciousness is all-pervading, but it does not manifest everywhere. It pervades everywhere, but does not manifest everywhere. Does not manifest everywhere. How do we understand that? For example, light goes everywhere. But it manifests only when there is a reflecting medium. When there is a reflecting medium, light manifests. Electricity is all over the wire. But it can manifest only when there is a bulb, or when there is a fan, or when there is something else where it can be manifested. So, sound wave everywhere. But manifestation requires maybe a form, maybe a speaker or a radio or something where you need some instrument to see the manifestation. So according to Vedanta, consciousness there is everywhere, but its manifestation is not. The manifestation requires a medium. And what is the next question? Where does it manifest? Where does consciousness manifest? So wherever there is a proper medium like a bulb, like a fan, whatever it is, there consciousness can manifest. And that medium alone in Vedanta is called the subtle body, the sukshma sharira. We told there are three bodies, the gross body, the subtle body and the causal body. The subtle body, sukshma shariram, is the medium of reflection of Atma, the consciousness. That's what it says. Okay? So not even the physical body, only the subtle body. So, if the subtle body is removed, then what happens? The gross body dies. Because life goes away. Consciousness doesn't manifest there anymore. The body is gone. If you can, by some means, you have got a test tube in which subconsciousness can be gathered and then poured into this body, if it can come back, it will again reflect consciousness. So, that's what it happens here. So, sthula shariratim sukshma sharirasya viyogaha ismarana. From the gross body, when the subtle body goes away, that alone is called death. Death is what? When the gross body loses subtle body. Subtle body goes away from the gross body, that alone we call it as death. If the sukshma sharira goes by itself, because of prarabdha, it is called marana. Because prarabdha, the person he has taken birth, he has got the lifespan of, what to say, 80 years, 75 years, 50 years, we don't know. To the end of the prarabdha, he dies. Smaran. Then what happens? Remember, consciousness does not go away. Body died, cross body died, you cremated, gone. Consciousness doesn't die. When the radio is spoiled also, when the bulb goes fuse also, electricity is still there. It doesn't manifest in the bulb. Bulb is fuse. But electricity is still there. So even though, so consciousness continues to be present in the dead body also, but it does not manifest. Because the medium, namely the subtle body, is gone. It's not there anymore. So, if we have a method to generate sukshma sharira, we'll put it in the body, the guy will wake up. He is dead, temporarily he is dead, he will wake up. If we can put it. So, Atma is sarvagataha. Atma is all-pervading, but Atma abhasaha, the expression of Atma, na sarvagataha. That is not all-pervading. So Atma is all pervading, but the expression of Atma requires a medium, and when that medium is not there, it cannot express. So that is not all pervading, whereas Atma is all pervading. So Chit, consciousness, Atma is Sarvagataha, but Chit Abhasa na Sarvagataha. The reflecting medium is not. And the reflecting medias are what? Wherever there is Sukshma Sharira, subtle body, there is a reflecting medium. All human beings, plants, animals, there is all subtle body is there in all of them. The plants have one sense, touch. And the animals have several senses. Humans have all the senses. So they all have the reflecting medium. But no inert thing like a dust, they cannot reflect because the reflecting medium is not there. But consciousness is there. This Chaitanyam is there. And main topic here is what? Atma is Sarvagataha. Atma is all pervading. That is the subject of this shloka. So he says, Sarvvidhi, Arjuna, know that to be Atma. Sarvvidhi, know that. Vidhi means know that to be Atma. Yena idam sarvam tatam. By which Atma, the whole universe is pervaded. Yena idam tatam. This sarvam tatam. The entire thing is pervaded by that Atma. And what is that Atma? Avinashi. Cannot be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed at all. Vinashi, Avinashi. These are all repetitions of the actually previous ideas only, imperishable. You can destroy the sthula shariram, you can, all the other things can be destroyed, but not the body. But at the time of pralayam, everything can go away, but Atma will not go away. Atma is imperishable. You can break the bulb, but you cannot break the electricity. So, vinasham avyayasya asya. Therefore, since Atma is all-pervading, like space is all-pervading. Like space, Atma is like, for example, like pot and space. Now you got a pot. There is space in the pot. And there is space outside the pot. Now when you break the pot, what happens? Space is there. Space is not gone. But what is gone is the pot space is gone. Pot space is a name you gave because it was contained in the pot. The moment pot is broken, the space inside the pot and the space outside the pot, they are one space only. That is there all the time. But the name and form pot space is gone. That alone is gone. Like that, this body is gone, but the Chaitanyam is remaining. So only part space is gone. So when the consciousness is in the body, we call that as a jivaha. When there is consciousness, we call it a jivaha. Once the body, the sukshma sharira goes away, the word jiva will go away, but the Chaitanyam will be there. Jiva will go away. No more jiva, it's gone. But Chaitanyam will remain. So, avyayasya asya na kaschit vinasham kartum arhati. Nobody can destroy it. Na kaschit, nobody. Kartum arhasi can bring about vinasham, the destruction, avyaya, the imperishable. Nobody can bring about the destruction of the imperishable Atma. That's what Krishna says. So, nobody can bring about the destruction of the imperishable self. Bhishma, Drona, all these people, the self can never be destroyed. Even by your Brahmastram, Arjuna is a great archer. He has Brahmastram with him, the most powerful astram. Even with that, you cannot destroy that Atma. Even by the greatest atom bomb one can think of, whatever you can think, any other device one can think, you cannot destroy. You can destroy the entire world, but you cannot destroy Chaitanyam. Even if the whole pralaya resolve the world, there is a pralayam comes, Mahapralayam comes, the entire world is resolved. What remains? Chaitanyam. There is only one Chaitanyam, pervading in and through everything in creation, and that ever remains. Only its manifestation doesn't remain. So, at the time of pralayam, when everything resolves, they all resolve into what? Into the unmanifest form. And when the time of creation comes, whatever is unmanifest becomes manifest. It is only a transformation from manifest to unmanifest, unmanifest to manifest. It is only a cycle. That is what we call it as creation and pralaya. Srishti and Layam is only this cycle. There is nothing like something newly created. There is nothing like something destroyed. All these things are only transformations. See, creation and Layam is only transformation. And this has been always happening time immemorial. We can never find out a time zero when this happened. When this happened, has been happening all the time. We never know. So we cannot understand when that became, when it is going to end also, we cannot say it has been happening all the time. So Atma is imperishable, you can never destroy it. So here in this shloka, he brought about the sarvagata nature, the all-pervading nature of Atma. So we have got four aspects. The Atma is nityaha, eternal. Atma is nirvikaraha, it is changeless. It will always remain this thing. Atma is satyam, is permanent, is the truth. And Atma is, here in this case, sarvagataha, is all-pervading. So these are all the principles of Vedanta about Atma. And we also saw about, simultaneously we are seeing also about the Anatma, the body, the nature of the body. यो वेदादौ स्वरं ब्रह्मो वेदान्ते च प्रतिष्ठितः तस्य प्रकृतिः तस्य परस्वरं स्वरः।